Thank you, Lord God. The book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. With the help of the Lord, I want to speak tonight about weeds, stones, and a broken wall. God, I love you and I praise you. I glorify you. We invite, Lord, your presence in this place and ask you, Lord God, that you administer to us through the Holy Ghost. Speak to us, O God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Vineyard is a plantation of grape that bears vines and raisins. The precise conditions which a vineyard must maintain are often tightly regulated, and it requires quite a bit of work, amen, to grow a vineyard. Condition of the ground is essential for the raising of it. The grounds require good soil. Amen. The geographic location of it has to be right in the right place. It's got to be with the right temperature, right humidity. Got to have the right amount of rain, the right amount of sun. Amen. For the vineyards to grow. And not only that, a good vineyard needs a good master. A good master gardener that knows what he's doing. Amen. Bible speaks about slothful men. Bible speaks about individuals that they don't have the courage or the drive to get things done. Amen. They feel like, amen, that they wake up in the morning, they wake up late, and they feel, well, the day is halfway gone, might as well just sleep the rest of it today. Amen. The night comes and they don't get to bed early, and they stay up late at night, and the same thing comes the morning, and eventually they lose that drive in their lives. Amen. They lose that calling in their life. They lose enthusiasm. They lose encouragement, amen. They feel like their life is just, amen, passing by without really getting things done. Amen. I'll tell you that the people can be caught in that spirit. People can be caught with the spirit, amen, of discouragement, of slothfulness, feeling like, you know, I just cannot go and do it. Amen. There is something, there is a saying they say about people that they are go-getter. Amen. They go and they get things. They go and they plow the field, amen. They work, they get the job done. The Bible also speaks about slothful men, amen. The Solomon spoke that he drove by that field, and it was a field of the slothful. And the way he recognized it was a field of the slothful, it was because the vineyard of the man was void of understanding. They lived their life, amen, without a purpose, without a reason. It could be very well that they had their priorities not in order. They lived their life, amen, without just getting things that they didn't look ahead. They didn't plan ahead in their life. And he said, lo, because they are slothful, it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Amen. It didn't have thorns in it that choked the life out of the grapes and out of the vineyards. It was all covered with stuff. Amen. Has no good fruits in it. Has nothing, amen, good in it. And their walls were broken. Back in the old times, they would build walls around the vineyard to make sure that little foxes doesn't jump in and bad things, amen, the thieves doesn't come in and steal out of it. Amen. And he looked and he saw just a whole mess. Amen. He looked at that field, that, you know, that vineyard that's supposed to be a good vineyard. It's just a whole mess. Amen. You look, it has no beauty in it. Has no fruits in it. Has nothing lifeful in it. It's just full of thorns. You don't even want to walk in it. You don't want to even have anything to do with it. The walls are broken. Amen. Everything about it is not attractive. It does not produce life. It's unprofitable, not to the owner, and not to the people around it. Amen. And he drove by it, and for some reason, Solomon felt, I gotta stop by and look at that field. It caught his attention. Amen. Have you ever looked at a life and wondered, amen, what a mess? What a mess somebody can make out of his life? His field is all full of thorns and full of weeds, amen. And the walls are broken. They stand for nothing. Has no principles in their life. Has no standards in their life. Has no mission in their life. Has no purpose in their life. They're just living. Amen. Their life is a mess. Their family is a mess. Their community is a mess. Their home is a mess. Amen. Their job, if they have a job, is a mess. They're just, amen. Everything about their field is corrupt. Amen. Solomon was the son of David. He was a man that was equipped with wisdom and understanding like no other man that walked on the face of the earth. Amen. He was an infant. While he was an infant, amen, in the eyes of God, God made the statement that he loved him. Amen. God laid his hand, his eye upon Solomon, yet while he was just born. 2 Samuel 12 and 24, and Bathsheba bore a son to David, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Can you imagine God, the creator of the universe, would look at Brother Jacob, Brother Aaron, and he looked from there when they were little young and said, you know, I love that child. I love that person. And amen, yet they can't recognize the love of God from that age. They may not be able to respond being an infant to the love of God, but yet there is a creator of the universe that his eyes can upon them. And he's watching their lives, amen. He sees their life, he sees them growing, amen. And he has feelings toward them. A special feeling toward a life, toward an individual. I'll tell you, God throughout this Bible had people that he had special feelings toward, different than everybody else. He loved the whole world. He loved humanity. He loved us, amen. But there was a person that he called him beloved Daniel. There was Solomon, amen, that he called him, amen, but he loved him. There was Jacob, there was David, amen, when he was a little boy, out in the fields, he just did something, amen, that touched the heart of God, and God's eyes went upon them. He recognized them, he looked into their lives, he had future in their lives, amen, he planned their lives, he said, you know, and this is somebody, amen, that has touched me in such a special way, and I'm going to keep an eye on them throughout their lives, amen. I want to take their field of their lives, and I'll bring in such an awesome vineyard out of their lives. God has big hopes for you. Amen. Hear me today, no matter how old you are, I want to tell you that God has great expectations for your life. Amen. God has great plans for your life. Amen. And he looked at the life of Solomon, and God said, you know, Solomon, I have great plans for his life. I'm going to raise up Solomon. I'm going to bless him with wisdom. I'm going to bless him with understanding. I'm going to make him the richest person in Jerusalem in his time. And I'm going to have him build me a temple. Amen. And we found that, amen, that while Solomon was growing up in his life, amen, he responded to God. This is something so beautiful about him, amen, that he God didn't just love Solomon, but amen, when Solomon would walk with his father will teach him about the word of the Lord. His father will tell him about God, will tell him about the love of God, will tell him, amen, how to keep his commandment, how to do that which is right in his eyes. But Solomon cousin, amen, didn't just attend the church, didn't just attend his father's gathering, but he responded to the love of God. The word of the Lord came out of his heart and it touched his heart, amen, and he responded to it. 1 Kings 3:3, the Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. He started a relationship with God. And I urge you today, amen, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, amen, that you don't just go through life without responding to God. Without, amen, building a relationship from this age, amen, getting to know this God of the Old Testament, this God of the New Testament, going to know Jesus and building a relationship with Him. You might feel the love of God. You might feel His presence, but if you don't respond to that, you'll never, amen, allow God to work in your life, and you'll never build that relationship. Solomon, on the other hand, amen, he did all of that, amen, and he lived for God, following after God from all of his heart. And all of a sudden, the time came where Solomon now had to reign as a king. The time came, amen, where Solomon now had to fly. There's no more daddy right there to protect him. There's no more daddy right there to give him instruction, or mommy. He had, amen, he's got to be on his own. His reign started like a spring sunrise, full of life and hope and promises. If there was ever a king that had led his people, amen, to worshiping God, it was Solomon. He built the temple and he built it from all of his heart. Amen. He honored God, he worshiped God when they opened the temple and sacrificed to God from all of his heart. And God came, amen, in front of everybody, in front of all of Israel, amen, and confirmed and sealed the building of the temple. The Bible says that the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, glory of God, fell upon that temple. But there was something, amen, that took place in the life of Solomon afterwards, that Solomon somehow, some way, got caught up with the things that are happening all around him. He learned from his dad's mistakes. He looked, amen, I'm sure that he heard of David's affair with Bathsheba. He knew, amen, that there's areas where you are weak, you've got to stay off of it. You've got to be alert about that. He learned from these mistakes in his life. Amen. God had given him a discernment to understand things and to see things, amen. And so he lived his life. He held on to these principles in his life. Amen. And here comes Satan wanting again to tempt him like he tempted his father. But yet there was no room in the life of Solomon for Satan to tempt him. He couldn't, amen, try to bring lust or adultery, amen, or lying into his life. Because this man's heart was after God like his father was, amen. And he was careful in his ways to live for God. And so Satan, amen, wanted to look at the life of Solomon, amen, and he studied his life, and he said, this is an ambitious life. This is an individual that loves to do things in life, wants to achieve things in life, wants to climb the mountain, amen, and therefore I realize that if I can keep Solomon busy, if I can, amen, have him preoccupied with the things of this world, maybe, amen, eventually down the road, I will distract his heart, amen, away from God. And therefore we found, amen, that he took him 7 years to build the temple. And after that, amen, he built his own house. And it took him 13 years to build his own house. And he gave his life, amen, into building this and building that and doing this and doing that. And before you know it, amen, he got into politics. And he wanted, amen, to secure the areas all around him. And fell into the customs of his land, amen, where kings now have to marry other daughters to keep the peace. He was called to be a king. He was called to build the temple. But you look at his life, amen. You can exactly pinpoint the area where Solomon started going in the wrong direction. Without even knowing that the end of his life is a catastrophe. Amen. He was so busy with all the fruits in his vineyards that he didn't pay attention to the thorns and the weeds that are growing up. And he said, maybe if I allow these thorns in my life or these weeds in my life, amen, as long as I'm busy doing the work of the Lord, everything will be alright. As long as I'm building the temple, amen, and leading God's people to worship, amen, then my fields are alright. And he didn't give heed, amen, to the danger that lies, amen, in the small things that might creep into his life, that eventually will distract him, amen, into worshiping idols and false gods. Church, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. Young people, no matter how old you are, it's not how you start in your life, it's how you finish. When your father is not there, and your mother is not there, and now you're on your own to make decisions, amen, godly decisions, decisions that will determine your eternity. This is all what it counts, amen. And I'll tell you that unless you start from now paying attention to the things that comes into your life, paying attention to the things that try to take you in a certain direction, amen, making sure that there'll be no weed coming into your life, no thorns, amen, coming into your life, you see the walls of your life, amen, one rust that's falling here and falling there, you go after it and build it back up. Be a man of principles. Be a person, amen, that's committed, amen, that's dedicated, that will not allow his walls to fall down, that will not compromise, amen, the things that he has learned in his heart and his life. Everything that's happening in your life, amen, it's designed by God, amen, to make you a strong, godly individual. But you've got to pay attention to your own life. You've got to pay attention to your own field. You've got to pay attention, amen, to the way you live. And the things, amen, that takes your interest and the things that takes your time. Amen. This first mistake that Solomon did, he got busy in the work of the Lord. He got busy in the work of the Lord. Instead of being, amen, busy in building a relationship with God. Satan wants you to be busy in the work of the Lord. Wants you to be busy in doing all these things, amen. Taking time to go to church, taking time to pray, taking time, amen, to do outreach and blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't want you to build a relationship with the Lord, one-on-one. Where he becomes your friend. Where he becomes somebody that you can talk to openly, without intimidation, without shame, without being shy. Somebody that you know him, when he can come and speak to you in a way where he just can grab your heart in such a way. He wants you to be busy running here and there, from one side to the other. He wants, amen, to be helping this and helping that and giving your life to this, but never build a relationship with God. And this is, amen, the first thing, amen, because what it does, when you get busy doing the work of the Lord, amen, it kind of brings a sense of feeling good. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing that which is right in His eyes. I'm building the temple. I'm building a church. I'm helping people. I'm doing outreach. I'm saving souls. But yet, your own soul is lost. And your own soul is going in the right direction. He wants you to be busy, amen, being occupied until he comes. But you've got to be careful, amen, to make it. That you've got to have that relationship with him. A solid relationship, amen, a godly relationship. A relationship but where he can come, amen, and touch your heart, and touch your life. He can visit you in any areas in your house, at any time. Solomon pursued wisdom. He pursued knowledge. His heart, amen, wanted to know. But the only thing, amen, that was wrong about that, he wanted to know everything about anything, amen, but he didn't want to know his Lord or his God. Amen. The Bible speaks, amen, that in Ecclesiastes 1 and 13, he said, "And I gave my heart to seek and search out thy wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven." He wanted to know about the ants, he wanted to know about the spiders, he wanted to know about the rivers, he wanted to know about the sun and the water and the moon and physics and chemistry and biology. He wanted to know about everything, about people's reaction, the psychiatry, and you name it. He wanted to know all these things, but the only thing that Solomon missed is knowing God. Knowing what God had to say about certain things. Knowing how God feels about certain things. Amen. And he gave his heart, the Bible says, for these things. He pursued after wisdom and knowledge and did not pursue to know the Lord. He became like many Pentecostals on our day, living out an experience with God. Put a slogan for our church. You find it in our website. And I did that for a reason. Because I want, when I read it, I want to remember it. That our church is Christian in concept, apostolic in doctrine, and Pentecostal in living. I don't want my Pentecostal to be an experience happened to me 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I want God's presence and His Pentecost to be part of my daily living. I want where God can come in and visit me every now, every day, and have that relationship with Him on a daily basis. And because he pursued, amen, the wrong thing, he gave into the spirit of slothfulness and the spirit of discouragement. Who? Solomon? Yes! Can somebody like Solomon, who built all these things, become slothful? Lose his drive in life? Lose his reason? Yes! Amen. He didn't start like that. He started wanting to build and achieve. Amen. And then become the best thing he can ever be. But at the end he looked and said, verse 15, verse 14, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." It wasn't really worth it. And therefore, amen, when somebody gives in to that spirit of discouragement, they lose faith. They can't believe no more. Verse 15, he said, amen, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered." What's the reason, amen, of living for God? What's the reason of telling people about God? Amen, "That which is lost, they're going to be lost." His mind, amen, became, he lost faith about the power of God. He lost faith, amen, about how God can take things that they are crooked and make them right. He lost faith, amen, that God said, "There is a reason for everything that's happening in my life, because God has put me here. God has put me on a mission. God has a plan for my life." Solomon has lost his purpose, amen, and because he communicated with his own heart and not with God. Do you ever sit every now and then, talk to yourself? See what your heart is leading you to, what feels good to your heart, what makes sense to your mind. That's exactly what Solomon did, and that was exactly where he had fallen. He said, "I communed with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all that they have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge." I didn't come and say, "Lord, let me talk to you today. How do you feel about this? How is my life going on in your eyes? How are the affairs of the kingdom? How are things in my home? How are things out in my family? How is my life pleasing to you? I want to talk to you, Lord. Tell me about what you think about this. I miss you. It's been a while you didn't talk to me. I'd like to hear your voice. I'd like to spend time with you." He didn't take time to communicate with God and wait for the Lord to come and talk to him. In his early life, he did it. In early life, he communicated with God. But you see, as his life progressed, amen, as he started pursuing the wrong things, now he's not. He's never communicated to God. God doesn't come and talk to him no more. He doesn't speak to him in dreams or visions. He lost contact with the Lord because he set his heart, amen, after the wrong things. And now he's not talking to himself, amen, that I've done all this, I've done all these things, amen, and now I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increased knowledge increased sorrow. There's just no meaning for my life. And now, little did Solomon know that while he was taking this trip in the suburbs of Jerusalem, when he stopped to look at this field of the slothful man, he was looking at the field of his own life. Thorns took over his life, weeds covered his life, amen, and his walls were broken. Oh yes, his walls were broken. Have you ever imagined Solomon sacrificing for false gods? For Ashtaroth?
No.
No. Have you ever thought somebody like Solomon, who built the temple and seen the Shekinah glory of God, and God speaking to him, amen, giving his heart after adultery and worshipping other gods and burning incense and sacrificing, amen, to idols, to Baal and Ashtaroth? It's exactly what he has done. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Continually. But Solomon did not. I believe the reason why Solomon ended where he ended is because he took the word of the Lord lightly. Oh, what's the big deal about that? I mean, does really God care about that? He doesn't. Does really? I mean, yeah, the Bible says that. What's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about this? And he just took the word of the Lord lightly. And because he took the word of the word lightly, amen, God, amen, let him go after the things of his own heart, and he found himself at the end just empty and void. A life, yeah, in the eyes you might look, he built Jerusalem, he built the temple, but he destroyed his own life. At the end he brought idols and other gods and foreign temples into Jerusalem. 1 Kings in verse 11, he said, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. He didn't pay attention to the way he's going. Didn't pay attention to the relationships he's being involved in. He didn't take the word of the Lord deep down to his heart and said, if the Lord said it, I'm not going to partake in it. I am not going to compromise the word of the Lord in my life. Because it starts with a little. You give the letter, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. You let down of your standards, amen, he'll jump right in. You layer your walls, and you, before you know it, there's no more walls. Amen. If you allow a little weed to grow, before you know it, they're dead and they're taking over. We just cleaned our backyard not too long ago, amen. I just went a couple of days ago. I couldn't walk on the weeds that were there. Amen. I just, one day I told myself, oh, I don't have to cut them. Amen. I'll cut them the next time. I'll cut them. And now I can do nothing with them. They're so grown, I'm afraid to go in them. I gotta hire me another boss that's trying to just sweep the whole thing and start from the wall. You know why? Because I let them go for a week. Before you know it, they just sprang right and took over. And that's exactly, amen, when you allow a lesson, amen, to get into your life from the
this young age, or a wrong habit, a small thing that will get into your life, in their heart. A root of bitterness, disappointment, discouragement, amen. A lot of things that you sit on in your life, and before you know it, they'll take over. You have thorns and weeds, amen, throughout your life, and your life is bitter, without reason, without hope, without encouragement, without inspiration. It's hard and it's empty. And you look at all what you say, the years have passed me by, and the days are gone. Amen. What happened to my life? I was so full of ambitions. I was so full of life. I was doing so great things for God. But you look around you, and you are in this handicap. You can't move. You can't break out of the box no more.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Hear me today. A little distraction, a little preoccupation has been the curse of great men. Being occupied. Get busy. Wake up early. Go to work. Fight your day. Come back. You're tired. The next day and so forth. He wants you to stay busy. No time to pray. No time to seek the Lord. No time to fast. No time to meditate on the Lord. No time to spend in your relationship with Him. No time to seek His power and His anointing. No time to seek His face. You're dragging. You're doing all what you can. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Stay busy until your days are gone. Stay busy. Don't affect your world. Stay busy. Amen. Don't set your light shine so much. Amen. Stay busy in your life. It wants to distract you into the things of this world. And you know what? He didn't just use it on Solomon. He also used it on the church of Laodiceans. It was a whole church that they were busy and doing all kinds of things. And that church, amen, somehow, some way, has lost track of the things of God. Lost track of where God wants them to be. Amen. Revelation 3:14, the Lord told them, the angel, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things say the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Because somehow these things, amen, being busy, took your temperature out, took your zeal out, took your first love out from God. And I want you to repent and turn. He said, because you say to yourself, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Pull yourself out and look into your life. What is my first priorities? What is my zeal for God? Where am I living for the Lord? At the end of his life, Solomon realized the mistake he has done. He saw how, what kind of curve he took all the way around. Ecclesiastic 12:1, he said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Don't wait until you're old and the days has gone. Remember him when you're young, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor their clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the right and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. In verse 7 and verse 5 he said, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. When it's all said and done, when when the days of your life has spent, what kind of field do you want to have? What kind of vineyard? What are you going to leave behind you? Weed, thorns, and a broken wall? You're going to look and say, I wish I paid attention. I wish I redeemed the time. I wish I understood the time. I wish I stopped at my breaks and said, you know what, I can't be so busy. I can't be so preoccupied with everything. I wish, amen, I took a day off and I realized and readjusted my relationship with the Lord and my priorities in life. Don't wait until it's too late. Time is against you. The days are against you. Today is the day. Amen. To readjust things. Daniel 12 and 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. May let's all stand tonight. Solomon said, right before he passed away, Ecclesiastic 12 and 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Putting God first in your life, no matter what the price is, and be careful not to be preoccupied in the things of this world. Don't let Satan steal your time, your desires, and your ambition. Don't let the things of this world, amen, lay holds on you. But seek first His kingdom, and everything else shall follow. I want to open these altars tonight. I want you to look into your fields, into your life. I want you to look at your personal vineyards. Do you see any thorns? Do you see any wheat? Have you compromised here a little and maybe there a little? Have you let down your guards a little bit here or a little bit there? Are your walls broken? Has entertainment swept into your life? Is your vineyard looking the way it's supposed to look? Have Satan used this tool in your life to distract you, overwhelm you with the business and the affairs and the stress of life? Is he using this tool on you like he used it on everybody else? He wants you to be ashamed at the end. He wants to fool you like he fooled Solomon. You might not be worshipping false idols today, but did you partake of things that the Bible speaks against? Have you brought things into your life? Other gods? Other idols, other interests beside God into your life? In which direction are you directing your heart? He wants you sleeping. He wants you to sleep. Just sleep. He'll sing a song to you. Sleep, sleep. He'll bring things into your life. You just sleep spiritually. Proverbs 6 and 9, he asks this question, how long will you sleep? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man.